Hello and welcome to the Pet Healer Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Mitzi Vargas, and today we're going to talk about GERD. I love saying that, but it stands for gastroesophageal reflux disease in dogs, and basically acid reflux. So I have a lot of patients that, you know, usually it's in the morning when they wake up and they throw up bile, or they have this weird swallowing type reflexes in the morning, kind of clearing their throat, or they actually vomit on the daily in the mornings. So oftentimes it is because of they are suffering, just like in people, of gastroesophageal reflux. One of the things that will minimize that is to make sure you feed your pet twice a day. I know that there's a lot of people that feed once daily, and that might be okay, but the one thing that will stop that buildup of acid in the stomach would be actually digesting something. So if you want to do a main meal and then do a snack at least 12 hours, around 8 to 12 hours later, that I think will help cut down on this reflux. I usually give the biggest meal in the morning and then this what I call the snack, which is half the amount, in the afternoon, early afternoon. And so I luckily have not experienced that myself with my pets with the reflux, but I do have many patients that have that. So we do change the diet into diets that are a little bit lower in fat and lower in spice, bland, you know, bland diets. And we also try to recommend more moisture, either by doing canned diets, adding broth or warm water to the dry food, elevating the dishes. That also helps swallowing better. The problem with the gastroesophageal reflux is that it could cause the stricture of that valve that goes from the esophagus to the stomach. And if that's, there's a stricture there, then that becomes a big problem. And in that area, there could be just burns, thermally, you know, chemical burns to that area of the esophagus, and the lining could suffer and have fistulas and all sorts of things. It could damage nerves, everything. So the GERDs, if you suspect that your pet has GERDs, you know, these are the symptoms that I think you will look. It would be regurgitation, which is they eat real fast and then they throw up. Now, remember that if it's just because they're eating fast, you could use puzzle bowls. These are bowls that have like a puzzle design inside so that they have to work hard to get their food. It's not as easy. So they swallow less air and they actually slows down their eating. So helps with the acid reflux. If they have repeated swallowing, like a weird clearing, it looks like they're clearing the throat, but they're like kind of gagging or retching or kind of like swallowing a lot. One of the classical signs of reflux, not just the bile vomit, but also the salivation. So they're constantly salivating, especially in the morning, and they salivate right before dinner, like a lot of saliva. And those are chronic conditions, but they can become worse and worse. They can cause them to not eat because it's painful to eat. So how can we rule out if there's something else? Because this mimics many diseases. Addison's disease, which is your adrenal gland doing low output, you know, hypoadrenocorticism, that could actually cause similar symptoms. Hypothyroidism, your thyroid controls so many things and so many areas of your metabolism, and one of them would be that, swallowing. And so you would see a lot of situations with difficulty swallowing with salivation. And that could be the low thyroid. That's easily diagnosed by blood work. So blood work in this case, that includes thyroid, that includes all your hormones, especially the cortisol baseline, that will be a very good thing. There is a really bad disease that we don't even want to talk too much about, but it's called myasthenia gravis. And that we have in people too. And those you can diagnose by an acetylcholine receptor antibody titers. It's very bad disease. The situation is that the muscles cannot contract and properly, and so they can't really swallow. And so even a deficiency of vitamin B12 folate could cause them to have difficulty swallowing or have some reflux. So as easy as just a deficiency of vitamin B12, there could be also foreign bodies or hernias. The hiatal hernias is in people cause that acid reflux all the time. Well, dogs are little people with furry coats, and cats too. So I mean that they can have hiatal hernias or some kind of hernia that could be causing that. They could have tumors. Cancer is always a differential, especially if their whole life they didn't have an acid reflux, and then as they get older, they start having that. So there's a lot of things that you can diagnose that are not acid reflux. So acid reflux is not the worst of the diagnosis. It's easy to take care of. I want to talk about the way that I take care of it, integratively speaking, because you could use Pepcid, because that's what they use in people, and animals can use Pepcid too. And they get it 1 milligram per kilogram every 12 hours. I usually do every 24 hours, 1 milligram per kilo orally every 24 hours for about 6 to 8 weeks. And if you don't see any improvement, then probably that's not acid reflux. I also like sucralfate, because sucralfate is sort of like Pepto-Bismol in that it calms down, it coats and soothes the area. So to me, as you prepare a slurry of sucralfate, they swallow it and it soothes that area. So I really like that. But really, the diet is so important. The Gucci, the energy of the food will heal it. But you have to use cooling foods. You have to use low fat and home-cooked diets. Why cooling foods? Because acid has a warmth energy, right? Comes out, it's actually warm from the stomach. So you want to cool it. You want a different energy that will cool it. Some other things that could happen would be if their pet's eating too much, then it can have food stagnation. The food stays there, food stasis, it's what it's called. The food stays there too long, and then it doesn't digest properly. It's kind of like a backfires upwards. We also call it rebellious chi, because the chi of the stomach should go downwards. The chi of the spleen should go upwards and towards the lung and form Gucci and extract the nutrients out of it. But the stomach energy should go downwards into the small intestine. So when that's not happening, we need to correct the flow of chi. And so how can we do that? Well, my easy go-to safe and effective way is using acupuncture. So there's many points that I use, but stomach 36, 37, 39 are the main ones that I use for that. I also use balance method acupuncture using Taijing Jiangming levels 3 and 6, or 5, I should say. So C level and Shustrim level. For those acupuncturists that are listening to me, for my pet owners who do not practice or do acupuncture, trust me, stomach meridian is the meridian that is affected, so we're going to balance it out, and we're going to either use points on the stomach meridian distal to your problem to pull the energy downwards, or we're going to use balance method techniques to make sure that the energy of the small intestine, large intestine are all balanced. So another thing that I use for GERD, it's herbals. So the herbals are great for the integrative approach, and there's one called Stomach Happy is great. Of course, you know, as an acupuncturist, you look at your pulses, you look at, is it a spleen chi deficiency, is it a spleen yin deficiency? So depending on that, you're going to act. Most of the times, if you have ulcers or fear of ulcers, then you use J-Lady, which is a formula that will take care of the gastric ulcers and will take care of the heat in the stomach. But if it's a situation where you think it's more motility, that's a chi deficiency. If it doesn't move or it doesn't close properly, that's because it's not having enough energy. So what we can do is to use Stomach Happy, or my favorite of all times, Happy Earth. Happy Earth does the whole GI tract, so not only pulls the energy downward from the stomach, but continues making sure that the energy goes all the way to the colon. So I really like those herbs for that. But again, food therapy is very important. How about Twina? Is there any massage that we can do? Absolutely. So we massage along the muscles of the trachea and the esophagus. That's a very good area to massage to get the energy there, bring that energy. Also to calm them down. So massage below, behind the ears and anshin to calm that down, because sometimes it's like an anxiety behavior too. It's like they eat too fast and then they just always looking for food and everything. So the other things that people do, there's other phosphodiesterase inhibitors and other kinds of things that we use if there was megaesophagus along with the reflux. Because sometimes the reflux is just the symptom, but then there's an underlying condition. So that's why it's so important to, first of all, diagnose. Use whatever diagnostics you can to diagnose, whether it's barium, which is a contrast that you can give the animal to ingest and take x-rays and follow the barium. It outlines the gut, the dimensions of the esophagus and the dimensions of the cardius, which is that valve that controls the flow into the stomach. It actually, could even delineate if there's a foreign body. There's a funny story. I had this case of esophageal reflux, and I used famotidine 2, which is Tagamet, at night, and then I did a Pepcid 2. I tried a lot of things. I tried acupuncture, and I just kept having this wiry pulse. There's something going on in here. I thought it was cancer. So I did some barium, and we discovered a giant mass. This is a Yorkie, and this mass was the size of my fist. And so I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. And the owner was crying. It's an older dog. And I don't know, but I follow my intuition. And she's crying. We have to put him down. It's probably cancer. And I said, well, let's just do this. You're ready to say goodbye, but I'm just really curious what's in the stomach. Could you just pay for me to induce him in anesthesia, and then I would just go make an incision, look what it is, and if it's something that is for real cancer, your pet is already sedated, I will put him to sleep. But if it's not, if it's something that I could actually do something about it, then maybe I could just do what I could do. And so she agreed, because, again, this is a Yorkie. It was elderly, over 10. I can't remember if it was 12. I believe it was 12. This is many years ago, obviously. And so when I did that, I sedated, and she said the goodbyes. We sedated. We took him into surgery, opened him up, and there was the largest trichobezoar, which is a hairball on a dog, or of any animal that I've ever seen, the size of my fist, because the lady has had hair below her waist. So over the many years, this dog was licking around, had this anxiety thing, and obviously we had diagnosed acid reflux, because one of the things is this anxiety kind of behavior, and especially our food. And so it was just a giant herbal. Needless to say, took the hair out of the stomach, closed the back up, no problem. Dog lived many years afterwards. But it was a big lesson, number one, to follow my intuition. If something's saying no, go further, do it. But number two, that sometimes you're looking for zebras, and you shouldn't. You should just look for what's the most common thing. And then sometimes, occasionally, you look at everything, and there is a zebra. There's something you've never seen. And so I hope that you learned something today with this GERD. And if you yourself have GERD, then there's many ways to take care of it. So you can apply what I said today for your pets, for yourself. Again, if you found something interesting today, I'm very happy. Please subscribe and share this with your friends and let me raise awareness about the TCVM options out there and the holistic approach. And remember that we're on Facebook, Instagram, even TikTok. So you have no excuse to follow us. Thank you and have a great holiday. And remember that from now on, we're going to be downloading every Friday a brand new episodes, so you can be on the lookout for them. In the meantime, visit our Facebook page, the Pet Healer Podcast page. We also have a website, thepethealerpodcast.com, and we are in most platforms, so you can enjoy our topics. Thank you, and until next time, take care. Well, thanks so much for listening, guys. Information about this episode came from my book, AlpVet, the Revolutionary Pet Care and Longevity Solution, available in Amazon at our clinic, and soon to be an audiobook. So look forward to that. And this episode was sponsored by my practice, Orchid Springs Animal Hospital, and our website is www.osahvsinvictorets.com. There's a lot of information out there. If you want some more information on integrative pet healing, and our Pet Healer podcast is going to be available in all platforms. So we're looking forward to seeing you again.